Sorry? How's everybody doing Mara McComas-wise? Well done. Did you get the newer version? There's a somewhat updated version this morning for those who finished. But okay, it'll be around tomorrow also. And the shorter schedule than I'm likely to get up to it. Okay, are we ready? Done? Okay. So essentially, let's really get started now with Tochen. Since, again, Tuesday it is a shorter schedule even to begin with, so we're only going to really get into an introduction today. But there's a lot to figure out. And what we'll try to do, just to map out a little bit, is we're going to try to figure out what is the malacha of Tochen. I'll re-ask the question again in a second in terms of what should be the English definition of the word. And we'll see that there is some ambiguity in terms of what it means, and in terms of why it's a malacha. What exactly is malachanian about Tochen? That's something we're going to have to figure out. And we have limited information to work with. And if we wanted to figure out any malacha, right, where do we start? So, okay, we know what the malachos are because the Mishnah lists them. So without the list, we wouldn't even know what's a malacha to begin with. Then, once it's listed, so then we could look to the Mishkan as some basis for information, and we could look to the Gemara. The problem is, the Gemara is limited. The sugya of Tochen here is just a few lines long. There are other bits and pieces we can grab from other Gemaras, but for the most part, the Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi is a little bit other, not necessarily more, but a little bit different. The Talmud Bavli, we have a very limited presentation of what Tochen is, and it's not even clear if it's a primary definition. Right? Is this the Av of Tochen that the Gemara is telling us about? Is this a Tolda? Is this somehow connected to Tochen? We've seen in the past the language of Mishum Tochen is interpreted, or Mishum anything, is interpreted in different ways. Some understand that it should mean that we're talking about a Tolda. And if that's the case, then the prime mucker that we have for Tochen is not really defining the malacha. It's really basically a back door into the malacha. So we could start from a Mishkan model, we could start from a very limited passage in the Gemara, and what we'll see and what we'll try to at least start with today is part of the question we find in terms of just what is the action of Tochen. Very unclear, very much subject to debate. And then, close on the heels of that, is what substances are subject to Tochen. Very much also subject to debate, and that will also certainly play a role in terms of trying to define what the malacha is. After we go through that, that'll be today and probably into a little bit of tomorrow as well. So then, there are various other aspects which you've probably seen a little bit of coming up. Gedulei Karka and its role with this malacha is the question, as it has been for many of the past few malachos. And that connects to another major question, the question of Tochen Acher Tochen, which you've probably seen a little bit about, at least tangentially in some of the makoros. Some background also we have because we've done related sugyas. So the question of whether or not there is a heter of Tochen La'alter, so I didn't put Mar Makomos specifically about that on the Tochen list because we discussed it so recently in the context of Borer, but that's certainly background information that we're going to need coming into this, the question of what similarities there are between Borer and Tochen, if any. That's going to be a major part of our discussion as well. We also have to get into a couple of other major issues that come out of Tochen, and among them, one other point that we've started in a different context, and we talked about Zoreh, is the question of malachos that are done together with natural forces, which Zoreh is an example of, or maybe the example of, but we saw machlokas in terms of Tochen, when you use a water mill, and the water is really doing the work, the debate between the Magen Avraham and the Eben HaOzer, which, again, I didn't put on the list again because we've seen it already, but we'll have some time to focus on that in more detail. And, of course, we get into the practical issues. The very relevant gezeira of refua is something that emanates from tochen. So we'll spend some time both in terms of our halacha l'maisa discussions and maybe a little bit more as well in terms of talking about that also. So all of that on the agenda for the next few days as we start the grind into tochen. So let's begin with that question again. So how do you translate the word tochen? Tochen as a malacha, what does that mean in English? Even if you commented today, yesterday, let's start the ball rolling again. So what does tochen mean? Anyone? Jonathan?
Divide into smaller parts.
Divide into smaller parts. Okay, clearly you were influenced by some Rishonim in saying that. And certainly there are Rishonim who do sound like that. So divide into smaller parts. Anyone want to offer anything else? Sammy?
Grinding.
Grinding. And what does grinding mean practically?
Meaning dividing means you can like cut it up into pieces, but grinding means crushing it, not necessarily cutting it into distinct pieces, just rather pulverizing it.
Okay, when you say distinct, we're going to read the Gemara together in a second. But you're also making reference to the fact that the Gemara says that if you are interested in a measured piece, then that adds a different malacha to the mix. Yes, Avram.
Grinding also, I think it's coming out like how you're doing it, also like what you're trying to accomplish. You're not necessarily trying to get like.
What do you mean by how? You mean like what whether you're using a kli or not, or you mean
like
the effect you're having on the item? Not
crushing versus cutting, so it's like a knife or something.
Okay, so just to focus you a little more, so we saw, for example, when we talked about Borer, we used, as the Eglei Tal pointed out, in terms of some of the differences between Borer and Zorer Meraki, that some differences focus on the poel, what the person acting is using, and some focus on the nifal, on the specific object, or in this case, maybe what's happening to the object. So what you're talking about now is what's happening to the object, not what I'm doing in terms of, let's say, what type of kli I'm using or lack of kli, but the effect I'm having on the item, not necessarily just breaking it up, but maybe pulverizing it.
Pulverizing means like almost granular, make it granular.
So it sounds like
that.
Yeah. I guess you could also argue about what pulverizing means, but right, let's assume like that.
As opposed to like you're taking an apple and cutting it to eighths or sixteenths and
That would seem to be subject to
tomatoes, like you're making a jelly salad, so that's cutting into small pieces, but you're taking it and cutting into small pieces, you're not smushing the tomato.
Right, so that seems to be an issue that the Rishonim are debating, as we'll see. Okay, so any further candidates? Grinding, pulverizing, cutting into smaller pieces?
Do we have a primary?
I'm sorry?
Do we have a primary?
I didn't just decide who wins. So, any further candidates before we get to the primary? Nobody announced candidates? Okay, so within these terms, so if we say it's any one of these things, so we still need to define it a little bit better in order for it to be a malacha, right? Because how are any of those things constructive acts? Sammy?
For example, you say that, let's take grinding, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could, wheat, you have the classic example of wheat. So you have wheat that you could chew, but that's not nearly as good as what you can do with flour.
Oh.
So therefore, when you grind it into a new form, that you now have the ability to make bread. So that's, you know, in the process. Even though technically Mark Ruffles will tell you that it's really a grayus of at that moment, but in the end it's really a malusa. So it's there, it's on the way to a tikkun that it could be, so it could be part of the process.
You just said actually two things. Well, okay. You were saying one thing, but you could have been saying two things.
Right.
But I think primarily what you're saying is that there are items that are enhanced by being broken up. Specifically certain types of foods that are more valuable when they are not in their whole form. And maybe that's what tochen means. Maybe tochen means making something smaller or in more pieces when that division is useful towards some goal. When now this is now a more useful item because it has gone through tchina. Gil.
It wasn't in the Makoro, but according to Rapai's model that it wasn't the preparation of the Mishkan, but the actual Mishkan, what was token for the bread, for the lechem
l'pachim? Right, so that's, according to him, it's presumably for the bread, right? So in general, Rapai Gon, we should probably assume that Rapai Gon has the benefit of being able to take Sidur, the pas, literally, that all these malachas are about bread. It's the other Rishonim who can't use bread as a model for malacha because it wasn't part of the construction of the Mishkan, like Rashi. So they're going to have to say that it's the sum of money. And you are right in, I guess, alluding to the point that it probably helps to define which it is in terms of trying to understand what this malacha is about, that maybe there is a difference between the construction, the production of bread and the production of dyes for the Mishkan in terms of what role Tochen played. And that's something that will come up. Okay, so how else? Okay, so maybe, like, why I start to say the same, you're saying two things, is because when he threw in the phrase on the way, so that was, it sounded like you're about to start something else. One could possibly argue that the relevance of this malacha is the role it plays in paving the way for another malacha. Possibly, right. So we're going to see how that possibly could be read. Now, part of what we'll see is a little bit frustrating within the Rishonim. Is some Rishonim are very explicit, and some Rishonim are less explicit. And there are a number of different svaras one could take towards this malacha, and a lot of Rishonim are very agreeable and very cooperative and could theoretically be saying any of them, as we'll see. That a lot of the Rishonim, the ones that are less explicit, are possibly, could be understood in light of any one of a number of understandings and have been by different later svaras. So we may find that we're going to have to focus more on the svaras in isolation rather than being able to properly say with confidence which Rishon is saying which, but we'll see to what extent we can take an educated guess towards those views. Okay, so what have we seen so far? So maybe it means grinding, maybe it means dividing into smaller pieces, maybe it means pulverizing, and then the question, what does any of that have to do with any constructive act? So it was suggested that it helps to, certain items are more usable, are more valuable once they've gone through this process. And a very possibly very different definition, that maybe it gets its significance particularly because of its role in a process and the way it paves the path for a different malacha. Hi.
What was the nafkamina?
Oh, there'll be possibly big nafkaminas, because if we assume that it's only relevant because of how it prepares for a different malacha, it may only apply to that which is relevant to that malacha. What malacha am I talking about? Not necessarily. I'm actually skipping over Lush, right? Really, yeah, really, Rafi or Bishul, depending again on whether you're a Haigon or Rashi. But let's say Bishul for a moment, because we'll work within a Rashi perspective. Right, so it could be that Bishul plays a major role. So we'll get into this in much more detail, but Sammy's raising the fact that the Rambam focuses on preparation for Bishul in his definition. So which part's only a Tolda? Now, what's a Tolda? That's not the only part that's over. He mentioned the Bashal a couple of times, so we'll get into what role that has to play. Okay, so with that in mind, let's take a look at the few lines in the Gemara that we have here. So I don't know if your tendency when you see this line is to read the word paris or parim, but they happen to both be existing yourselves anyway, so you can't really go wrong. But the way it's printed in our Gemara, Amar of Papa, Haiman de Parim Silka, Chayiv Mishum Tochen. So somebody who, we'll try to define it broadly here, cuts up a beet. And Rashi says that this is a question, right? B'mem Garcinan V'lo B'samach K'depiresh B'Halor V'Arotev. Sorry? No, not parim is in the plural of par, but that the verb is pei resh mem. Yeah. So it should be read with a mem and not a samach. If you look at the... Right, that's the way it seems to be printed in this gemara. Some other gemaras are sometimes printed with a samach from the Dibur HaMaskol. So apparently there are two different curses, but it seems to be that the mem is really the way to go. Haiman de parim silke chayiv mishum toche. That's one thing we know. Amar Rav Nasha, Haman de Solis Silsi Chayiv Mishum Tochen. What's he talking about? He's talking about cutting pieces of wood. It's a very different type of substance. Right? Rashi says, Eitzim Dakim Lahavir Eish, so you want to make fuel, you want to make firewood, so you're going to cut wood thin in order to serve that purpose, so you are chayiv mishum tochen. Amar Ravashi, I kapir amashchasa chayiv mishum mechateich. And if you are also interested in getting exact measurements, you're not just simply cutting them smaller, but you want to have a certain specific exact size that they should all be, so then we can involve another malacha here, the malacha of mechateich. And I was discussing with somebody yesterday, there isn't any danger here of thinking that mechateich and tochen are going to overlap completely, or that one is going to be completely included in the other, because there is a lot of different territories. So clearly we see one can violate tochen without mechateich, and that presumably one can violate mechateich without tochen also. If we see anything which, if we start to limit, and we'll see much debate about what limits tochen has, but if we start to limit the applicability of tochen to only certain substances, so then presumably there are a lot of substances where you could have mechateich without tochen. So we're not really at risk of having the two swallow each other up, but there could be an overlap. There could be situations where one action might be both tochen and mechateich. Okay, just before, yeah, hi.
If you do that, though, by being machped on the meat, wouldn't by definition not be cutting it small enough?
I guess it depends on how you're going to define the smallness of tochen. See, it's hard in general, we're going to see, so if we want to define it as pulverized, right, so even before we start looking at other Rishonim, let's just think about that for a second, just in terms of the words of the Gemara. So, is pulverizing wood beneficial for firewood? For fire purposes? Not really, right?
It's rain as long. You're trying to start fires with smaller pieces.
Smaller pieces is not pulverized, right? If it's turned to dust, right? So there is a point at which I could go too far, and I no longer have any value. So it's not that just making something smaller is automatically valuable. It's going to have to fall within a certain range in order for it to be valuable. Not too big, what we call the Goldilocks range, right? Not too big and not too small. So defining it, how we can define the action is going to be impacted by that. You can't just say pulverizing right out. So this is, as we'll see, it's a question of definition first. So what does tochen mean? So what does Rashi say over here? So Rashi, in the Rashi about pardon sulke, we didn't get up to these words. So mechatcho hadeik, you cut it small. Cut it into small pieces. And other Rishonim have this language, and we're always tempted, you might as well get it out, so you find the expression often, duck, duck, you're tempted to say goose, so you might as well say it once and get it over with, that you cut things very small, very fine, and that seems to be the definition of tochen. So here we have Rashi telling us it means to cut it small, and Rabbeinu Chananel seems to have a different focus, right? How does Rabbeinu Chananel understand it, basically one word?
Right.
Right, so kotesh, right? So we call that pounding or pulverizing. So it sounds like Rabbeinu Chananel is different than Rashi. And that Rashi would just say small pieces, and Rabbeinu Chananel is going to say crushing, pounding, pulverizing, something that would seem appropriate in the world of wrestling. So what exactly he means by this is somewhat of a question. Does it mean like it sounds? The Or Zoharuah understood it really to mean a different way of saying duck, duck. That basically, similar to what I guess what Jonathan was saying a minute ago, if we thought that pulverized wood is still useful for firewood, maybe Semi was saying something like this, that essentially we can't really use the definition of pulverizing that really means ground into nothing. So are we using this term more loosely? Maybe. Shevet Alevi has a tshuva. I go.
Just in terms of Rabbeinu Chananel, when he relates to firewood, he says that when you break it up, some sort of chema comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But who cares? Why isn't that malach l'shem etzirkulufa?
Right, so that's also part of what we're having to try to figure out. So why is that necessarily...
he's saying that's the main malach, this chema, that you don't care about.
Right, so that's psikresha v'lamichle. Right, so it's a fair question, so let's put that... And that's useful for firewood? So if you say, like, your Zoharuah understands Rabbeinu Chananel, then yes. that it's not between NK and Chemach, it's still hard to square with useful firewood, but basically you'd have to say that it's not totally nothingified, but it's basically made into smaller pieces that are still usable, holdable. Yeah, so it's
a, not really,
it's a small.
The deco, that's the same tree that we have for lung, right?
Right.
So those aren't really, it's not really so much. It's really,
but the tree,
branches.
No, but the tree part is still wood. You're still dealing with wood to begin with. The Shevet Halevi has a tshuva where he says that this is talking about basically making something into kind of a thick liquid, so to speak, that you're pounding it so much that it's basically liquefied. So what exactly that means practically, we'll also have to see. And this also, clearly these definitions are going to affect some of the halakha l'maisa questions, which we will get to as well. So if Rabbeinu Chananel says it means kotesh, so what does Rashi feel about kotesh and its tochein relationship? Hi?
The Shevet Halevi is talking about
Rabbeinu Chananel
or Rashi?
So what, if I want to look it up, it's in Chelek, Zion, and inside of Dave. So how does Rashi feel about the relationship between Kotesh and Tochen? Hi, Jonathan.
So over here, then he says that it has to do with Dosh, but the other Gemara says,
Okay, right. So if you look in the Gemara in Beitza, so he does connect it to Tochen, but as Tochen itself? As a Tolga of Tochen. Right, which doesn't necessarily mean that he thinks this Gemara is talking about something else, because we're not clear whether this Gemara is a Tolga or not. But on the previous Amud, on Dalam Ad Aleph, what does he say about Kotesh? So over there, where the Gemara talks about Ketisha, so L'chashev Nami Kotesh, so says Rashi, Yichitim Machtesh Es L'hasik Bipasan, D'havoi B'mikdash B'sam Imanin, you are basically doing an act of dash by a kotesh. So is that a contradiction? That he's now saying it's dash rather than tochen? So maybe. Could be. Others such as the Magen Avos, we haven't mentioned so much this semester, the Magen Avos is a Mordechai Benet, lived in the mid-1700s, important sefer on Hilchos Shabbos that's available on HebrewBooks.org. You can download your own free copy. So the Magen Avos assumes that this is a malacha, which is not so uncommon, which could depend on what you're doing in terms of what malacha it's associated with. Ketisha could be an act of tochein, it could be an act of dash. What would probably be the difference? How would we decide whether it's tochein or whether it's dash? Right, that would seem to be the issue, right? If it's the way Rashi was describing the one we just read, it's basically about getting rid of a covering. So you're pounding something, so you're going to knock off the covering and have what's left. So then presumably that would be dash. If you're pounding something so that it's broken up into smaller pieces, so then that would be tochein. How does the Rambam define tochein? Right. Gil?
It's breaking something up into smaller pieces, but he also said that cutting something up small is tolda. So it seems like you mean separating it into very, very small pieces is the real odd. Tolda would be small pieces.
Right, so we're going to have to figure out what exactly... So here, he really gets into this discussion in the context of telling us what a tolda is. So if we look at it together, so this is in Perek Zayin Halacha Hey. So the Rambam tells us, HaTolda hi amalacha hadoy mala'av me'elu ha'avos. What's a tolda? Something which is comparable to an av from the avos that we've read. Because in the beginning of Perek Zayin here, he lists all the malachos. We spent some time discussing why he lists it a little differently than the Mishnah does. But he lists all the malachos. So then by halacha, hey, he's got up to telling you what a told is. He says, a told you, a malacha, do malav, me'elu avos, keitzar. Hamachatech es hayerek ma'at levashlo, harei ze chayev, shezo malacha, toldas techina. This is, so the, our case in the Gemara, sounds like our case in the Gemara, is a case that is a tolda of tochein. Why? What's tochein? Sha tochein lokeach guf echad umachalko legufim harbe. You're taking one item and you're breaking it up into smaller items. The chalaosa davar hadoma leze hareze toldas tochein. So, what's distinguishing the av and the tolda? It's not so clear. Right. So, what's his basis? What point is he saying that this is not a full av, Avram?
Method.
So, what's how's the method different here?
Machteshes versus sacking.
So is that the key issue? Especially for the Rambam, who tends not to focus so much on Kalim in general when he talks about other malachos, right? We saw, for example, probably the clearest example, we talked about Chorish, we talked about plowing. So there are different tools one could use for plowing, and there are among the Rishonim those who feel like that's the dividing line between an Av and a Tolda. And the Rambam was not among them, right? The Rambam grouped those all as Avos. Jonathan, you want to comment on that?
That maybe he feels with the Mechazet Liyar, it's not enough Palakim, so therefore it's just going to be a Tolda. But he says that the real thing is Palakim with the Palakim Harbe. So I guess anything that you really, I guess, many, many more tiny pieces, but cutting up a vegetable, you're just cutting, I guess, larger pieces, he feels.
So it's an important question, because we do find that largeness and bigotude in general does tend to play a role in this discussion. We'll have to see how much of a role it plays. It's hard to say that it's the absolute distinction here, because it could be the distinction between Heter and Isser. So we'll have to see how that plays out. So I think it was Gil, Sammy, then Michael. Was that the order? Hands went up.
Just what Jonathan was saying. Does the Rambam also say that grinding a lashko and shem a tefet is a tolda?
Yes.
So in that case, that's the most possible thing into many, many things. So it can't be that that's.
Right, so that distinction, again, it's going to be hard to say it's the Av Tolda distinction. It is a distinction that is going to play a role, both in terms of where it affects functionality and in a more subjective sense. And we'll have to see exactly how it fits it. Sammy?
I think another thing to keep in mind is the fact that he mentions two different types of things that are token and have different, you know, requirements for both. By the Yerek, it has to be not Amal Vashel, but by Lashon Shamatech, as he just says, grinding it. That's enough already for it to be token, for it to be a token of token. So it's probably the guess that metal itself wouldn't necessarily be the Avimach of token. So by the fact that the metal already is something different.
So then what is the defining point? The substance? Or the purpose?
Combination. A combination of things. That's what do you need Lavashlo for it to be a token? That means that if cutting it out.
Well, why are we assuming the Vashlo is the definition of the Tolda? Maybe it's the definition of the Av. We don't know we don't know yet what word is pushing him to call this a Tolda.
Because it was part of the Av, so then he wouldn't have to say it.
But it's hard to say.
He's saying what the Tolda is. So.
But we don't know exactly what is the difference. You know, what is it about this situation that made him call it a Tolda? And if you say the Vashlo is a hard thing to say that that's the Tolda issue, as we'll see, because that very possibly is the exact example in the Mishkan.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to say that the makes it a Tolda. We also have to figure out why. Okay, so I think Michael was up first, and then Donnie, and then Jonah.
Dash is also squeezing, right?
Dash could involve squeezing. If you Schita is generally considered to be a Tolda of Dash, although Schita has Borer aspects to it as well, so it also relates to what we said a second ago, that certain malachos, certain actions can be connected to different malachos. So, yes, so schita is a function of dash.
You could say that Rashi and the Rabbeinu Hananel are arguing over the relationship between tofein in regards to the purification of something, producing liquid from tofein, doing tofein on something, and its relation to dash and
that. So say the last part again, you say that maybe they want to know.
Maybe Rashi and Rabbeinu over how closely related it is to Dash. Mm-hmm. I believe that it's more separate, therefore it qualifies
Interesting. So you're saying potentially Tochen and Dosh have a relationship like the three Borer family Malachos. See, it's also interesting because Ketisha, the Gemara brings up. See, it's not clear why the Gemara brings up. It seems like the Gemara brings up Ketisha because of Dash. And the language the Gemara has in Ayin Dalem and Aleph is the Gemara says, oh, these three Malachas, Borer, Zohar, and Merakeh, they're basically the same. Why did they get listed? Because they were all in Mishkan. Oh, well then bring up Kotesh too. So what does that mean? Kotesh is similar to Borer, Zohar, and Merakeh? Probably not. That's not what Rashi understands, right? What Rashi understands is, no, it's nothing like them, but that it's something that is an action and should have made the list, even if it's comparable to something else, because if Borer and Zohar and Merakeh get listed, Kotesh should also. So then to get to what you're saying, so Rashi said, what is Kotesh? Where Kotesh is Dosh. And if you want to say Kotesh could also be Borer, so then maybe you're saying Koresh is straddles the fence. Kotesh is an action which could have been its own malacha, but for whatever reason isn't, and straddles the fence, maybe connects Dosh and Tochen and makes a linkage between them. Could be. Okay, I think it was Donnie.
In terms of the envelope for the Rambam,
yes.
Doesn't he mention later on that son in law went like Eitochen Elder Paris?
Yes. Oh, right, Eitochen Eitochen Biparis. You know, that he excludes. Right, so there was a question of the Girsa. The Girsa we have seems to exclude Paris, and we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll get up to that more tomorrow. But, okay, what do you want to do with that? Let's say.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it could be that that's what he feels the odd.
Right, the ad would be.
I mean, I guess if that gears is
saying. Paris as opposed to Yerakos, you think?
Yeah.
But why? Especially, again, we get into a Mishkan issue.
Right, that's
right. If you want to say Yerakos, Pashtus, what are the Samamanim? The Pashtus are Yerakos, right? So, and you. Sorry? Excuse me, but that's not. They grow out of the ground. So. But it's more than Paris.
Yes, closer to
Paris. Right. So it's very hard to say, you know, if we. Especially if we follow a Samamanim model. And so basically what was happening, so some essential vegetation was being taken and prepared for cooking. So it's hard to say that cutting out vegetation for the purposes of cooking, just those facts alone are going to make it a toll, but that's going to be challenging because it seems to be a very close comparison to the actual Mishkan roll. Hi.
So maybe you can say that in terms of the avos he was talking about, hoping that it's going to be useful now in terms of the and
possibly, but again, if that was a differentiation, it would be very difficult in light of the Mishkanian model. So we are almost out of time. I can't keep people late for Bible, but not out of time yet. So just one other point we'll throw into the mix, and we'll have to develop this more tomorrow and see how all of this possibly comes together. So Donnie alluded to the Rambam. Before you even get to the Rambam, so it's very unclear what is the subject of this prohibition, right? Because Tosfos has a striking comment. What does Tosfos say? Haiman de parim silka, davka besilka shayach tchina, aval shar ochlin shari. That this only applies to beets. And other foods is mutter. So that leaves open a lot of questions. Right? Gil?
Is it significant that you didn't say shar yarakot or shar peret?
It would be. It's striking. Now, as we'll see, we'll have to expand on this more tomorrow. There are other Rishonim who clearly do extend it to other yarakos. And there are those who think that Tosfos must mean that. Right? So it's a question, a couple of questions come out of this Tosfos alone. Right, whether you agree with Tosfos or not, so first of all, why would Tosfos say that? Does he really mean specifically silka? Or does he mean all vegetables? Maybe, but it's hard to say why he would say this and not other ochlin. Right, as I mentioned to some people privately, so the word ochlin is used here in unusual ways, because you'll find Rishonim who say there's no tchina by ochlin. Clearly there is by some ochlin. So you mean by Oakland in general, by other Oaklands, we have to figure out what exactly is included, what's not included. It's clearly not that automatically being an Oakland excludes you from Tochen, because that's not reconcilable with our passage and other passages. So we'll have to figure that out. So one question you can ask in Tosis is, does Tosis really mean just beets? Does he mean maybe all vegetables? Or does he mean something in between, very possibly? Right? Is there a certain quality that beets have which distinguishes them from within the vegetable family? But maybe there are many other vegetables that could also be grouped within them. So maybe silka is a code word for a certain kind of vegetable, and we're going to have to figure out what. It's pointed out, for example, that Tosis, I guess we'll have to end with this, and we'll continue this tomorrow. If you had a chance to see Tosis on Kuf Yudalet in the days, so there, Tosis sounds like he's assuming that it applies to other vegetables as well, because there the sugya of Knivas Hayerek turns up, a very unusual din that we don't really relate to Bizman Hazeh, but it talks about Knivas Hayerek on Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos. So this is some type of food preparation that's done in the late afternoon on Yom Kippur, which already strikes you as odd. You know, our mentality today is it's smacks of hachana and various other issues. We wouldn't want to start preparing our meal on Yom Kippur afternoon. But the Gemara says that it's relevant to the fast, that it has Akmas Nefesh involved, and somehow it's conducive. So without getting into that, so Tosfos over here talks about what is involved in Knivas Hayerek. So first of all, it's the Machloskas in general, what Knivas means. What exactly is that? It's a very vague mur, it's a very vague phrase. What's the Yerek? What's the Kniva? What's going on? There's a lot of debate about it. But the main point here is that Tosfos assumes that there is potentially a Tolesh issue here. We'll go into it more tomorrow. We see the end of Tosfos, Dibra Maschel, Elul Kniva Sayerek. So Tosfos is maybe concerned that there is a Tochein issue involved. And the second half of Tosfos says, "V'lo dami l'ha d'amar parak al gadol." It's not comparable to what we see in our Gemara. Haiman dip. What is that? Paris, probably, right? So it seems like it's a samach. So there's the different girsa turning up again. Haiman dip paris silka chayiv mishum tochein. Don't worry about that here. D'hasa mayri kishaosa chatichos dakos ma'od. And so there it's talking about somebody who makes very thin pieces. So this Tosfos is valuable on a couple of fronts. First of all, it introduces this big-small distinction, as we said before, what Jonathan was talking about. But also, Tosfos could have had a very easy out here. Knivas Hayerek, everything's vague. So if Tosfos wants to say it's not Tochein, based on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, Tosfos could say a very easy answer. Why is it not Tochein? It's not Silka. Certainly there's no Hecherech in Kuf Yudalet to say we're talking about beets or any specific vegetable. So Tosfos seems to believe that there needs to be an answer for all vegetables. So are these Tosfos in arguing? Are they different Tosfos in? It's somewhat of a discussion. We'll have to get into this a little bit more tomorrow. So this question of what is subject to the prohibition is clearly going to play a big role in terms of defining what the prohibition is. So we're going to have to try to figure out tomorrow, why would we single out anyone species, or certainly any one type of vegetable, let's say, to be subject to Tochein, what would motivate us to do that? That and more when we continue tomorrow morning. So have a wonderful day. Should be only good things.